March 21st, 1996, a continuation of Interview 3 with Frieda Silberman.
Well, you had been asking me about our experiences with anti-Semitism, and I was explaining Aaron's problems when he was a teenager in New York, and I never had anything like that in Oregon. As I said before, it worked out all right, but in Monterey, when I tried to get a job with the phone company because I felt that I had the qualifications and I was told that they don't hire Jews, it seemed as though it was news to me. However, and very shocking news, I later found out that it had been a company policy, but never having been exposed to it, it was just one of those things that took me quite by surprise. And it was at a time before the war when if you were desperate for a job and you changed your name or changed your nose or straightened your hair, you might get a job, whereas otherwise you were too identifiable, and that wasn't so good.
Okay, Frieda, one final thing. Would you like to tell us about the new American thermoplastics, please?
The new American thermoplastic company is bigger and better than the old American thermoplastic, new and improved. And while we have a new location and a new building that Stephen was very instrumental in helping design and to work out details of what were essential to have the company work more efficiently, the major thing that Aaron and Stephen talked about for years was a means of having a daycare center. And downtown on 2nd Avenue, there was no possibility of, first of all, making space in the building. There just wasn't any. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it would have been impossible to revamp it. The kind of a building it was just not suitable for that sort of facility. And so the idea was to incorporate it into the new design. And Stephen really did everything he could to make it happen, even at the cost of eliminating certain other things as the costs were escalating. He said he would never do without the daycare center. And so what they have is a very, very lovely, beautiful setup for the children of the employees, as well as employees who work in the RIDC park who want to bring their children there. They've opened it to others in the area. Mm-hmm. And it's run by the Louise Daycare Center. They provide the instructors. We have provided all the equipment. They have beautiful, very sturdy, very handsome facilities, the games and the toys, everything is of the finest. The beds that the kids sleep on, and the little toilets are the cutest things, and the little sinks, and there are cribs, there are newborns. When an employee is maybe 6 weeks after the baby's born, she wants to come back to work, she brings her baby, and it's beautifully run, and it has had lots of mentions in newspapers and magazines for its success.
How many youngsters does it service?
I think sometimes it varies between 8 and 11. I don't know that they've ever had more than that. They have a little playground on the outside that's properly fenced in so that in the spring and summer the kids can go out. And it's really a beautiful setting because there are deer coming up to the premises, and there are all kinds of birds and little animals around, so it's great for the kids. And the children seem to be doing very well, and the mothers are thrilled because they can pick them up at the end of the day and not have to worry about going elsewhere for them. The whole thing is working so well. And that was a dream of Aaron's. Thank goodness it happened. It's great.
How many people are employed there as compared with the first and original factory?
I think they're about 170. Maybe, give or take a few. I don't remember exactly.
How many were there at the beginning when the first factory?
Two. I always say he and me.
I see.
Yeah, it was just us. And that didn't last too long, thank goodness. I had little kids at home that I had to take care of. But it gradually grew, and it just continued to grow, which was just something that we were always very proud of, because it was not an easy thing to do, to really start with no money at all. And it's unheard of. At any rate, we did it. But as far as the new building, it's larger than anything we had downtown, even with the added rental space that we had. But it's so well organized, being the factory is all on one floor, where you don't have to wait for the elevator to bring materials up and down. And the efficiency is so great that you can have more equipment and a better flow of production. And now a lot of people just could not manage the trip out there. So we lost some. But as far as I know, there's a very contented crew, the people who did follow.
This one is in Blornox, is
Blornox.
That right? And the first one was where?
Downtown.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Second Avenue. This, you know how to spell Blornox? Yeah.
Blawnox?
Knox. I think. Wait a minute. You'll have to check it out. Isn't that funny? I see it. I was there today. I see it all the time. Maybe it's -NOX. You'll have to check.
I'll check it
out. You'll go over that.
At what point did Steve enter the business with Aaron?
Well, he entered the business officially, full time, in as soon as he finished college, which was in, what did I say, 72, I think. Yeah. And then officially he became president in 1986.
Has he changed the style of the business in any way from Aaron's style or running the business?
Well, I think changed the style. Aaron was very informal, and Stephen has become less formal over the years. he's very good with his people, as Aaron was, but their personalities are different, so there are bound to be differences in style. But as far as the style of doing business, he has developed more things that are new and advanced, and he's always up on the latest machinery and goes to meetings.
What kind of products do they make nowadays?
Well, they make 3-ring binders and portfolios and desk secretaries, mm-hmm, like this. These are called desk secretaries that we do the printing, we do the manufacturing of all along the way, including the if it's an index, you know what indexes, mm-hmm, are. We do the indexing, but the printing, the silk screening, mm-hmm, of the designs are all done in the art department. We have a photography department, and the product itself is heat sealed, and it's vinyl, but they make clipboards. Now they're using recycled materials, and Stephen is a big environmentalist. So what he does is buy materials that are, have already been recycled, and he makes, they make now something called a clipboard, and it's made from old scrap plastic bottles from milk cartons, that
really?
Sort of thing. Yeah. So he's always coming up with new things, and I don't think I mentioned in looking at this little book here, we have a subsidiary called 4 Point Products, and that is the school industry, the college bookstore business. And Aaron got this started many, many years ago, dealing with the managers of college bookstores. And over the years it's developed, and Stephen has really done a fine job of building that business up. And there are over 3,000 college bookstores, colleges in this country. And they buy from us as well as from other people, but they seem to, people come back as repeat business because our product is first-rate quality, I have to say. And so the 4 Point products are usually seasonal, so that in the summer they start working on that for the school term. And
do they sell it all outside the United States?
Well, they don't. Not directly. Through Barnes & Noble now. This is a fairly new thing that Stephen developed. It's a relationship with Barnes & Noble, who then sell out of the country. For instance, in Canada, it's the only place I know of offhand, where my son-in-law teaches. In the bookstore there, mm-hmm. there's a display of 4 Point products, and for us to sell abroad would be very complicated. And so doing it this way, through a major source, they do the arranging with all the bookstores. So that is nice. It's an innovation, mm-hmm. I will say.
Well, thank you very, very much, Frieda. I think we've covered it.
You're very, very welcome. It's been fun. It's been interesting.